You're listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams, and today we're talking about gay marriage in Utah. It's been an eventful few weeks for marriage in general in Utah. First federal judge, I think this was December 20th, might have been the 19th, struck down Utah's laws against gay marriage, including Constitutional Amendment 3. More than 1,000 gay and lesbian couples were married across the state. Then the U.S. Supreme Court issued a stay while the ruling was appealed to the U.S. 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. Now Governor Herbert has announced that Utah will not recognize marriages performed during that window. We talked with Utah resident Cecily Saunders Keating, who married her wife Julie during that window earlier in the program. Now we bring in Senator Jim DeBacchus, who's also chairman of the Utah Democratic Party. Welcome to the program, Senator. Do we have the senator? Well, welcome to the program. Well, we'll have to try to see if we can establish his line a little better. Bill Duncan joins us, director of the Center for the Family and Society and executive director of the Marriage Law Foundation at the Sutherland Institute. Do we have you?
I'm here.
Okay. Great. We'll have to get the senator back. I wanted to get the reaction from both of you. I'll obviously start with you. What was your initial reaction to the federal ruling?
Well, obviously, we were disappointed. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that requires that allows the federal courts to determine what the marriage laws of the different states will be, and so that was I was disappointed that Judge Shelby would have gone beyond that constitutional authority. But at this point, that's the great part of our legal system is there's always a chance for an appeal, so that any errors can be corrected, and we're hopeful that will be effective going forward.
Judge Shelby ruled on 14th Amendment grounds, due process and equal protection. I take it you disagree with that use of the 14th Amendment.
Right. Well, the 14th Amendment certainly applies, and it's the way that the Constitution applies the what we think of as the constitutional rights that guarantee the citizens against the states. Prevents the states from infringing on those. The thing is that those terms are not meant to be elastic terms that judges pour meaning into. They're supposed to have set meanings, and that's sort of a key to our concept in the United States of the rule of law. That it's we're governed by laws and rather than by men, by individual preferences. So. My argument would be that the 14th Amendment does guarantee certain rights, but it doesn't create rights that are not either specified in the text of the Constitution or clearly attributable to the Constitution, as would be evident in the history and tradition of our nation. And I think Judge Shelby's ruling defines marriage in a certain sort of atypical way, and then says, well, we've always valued that, and so it must be part of our history, but that's not the way the Supreme Court has encouraged or directed, I should say, the lower courts to determine whether something is violates the Due Process Clause. And so I think it just used precisely the wrong test.
I want to move to marriage itself and the state's interest, talking broadly, government interest in sanctioning marriage. What is that interest? I wonder if you could talk a bit about that. And then the definition that has been a traditional definition, marriage between a man and a woman.
Sure. Well, that's really the key question, and it's one that surprisingly the court decision didn't address very much. To the degree you can tell from the opinion, it appears that Judge Shelby's feeling is that the state is interested in marriage as a way of the government giving kind of a stamp of approval on various adult relationships. That doesn't strike me as being a good explanation for why marriage has been very consistent across all really, really recorded time and recorded history, across various cultures, understood as bringing together a man and a woman specifically. And although there are many individual interests, why people want to get married, the role of government in there is not well explained by those more emotional or personal interests. They have to do with things that I think we would think of as essential to, as the Supreme Court would say, essential to our system of ordered liberty. And I think the key element there is going to be thinking about the great reality that men and women are both necessary. Every child that's born to the world has a mother and father. And so how do we encourage that without limiting people's freedom, but encouraging a relationship that's going to provide mothers and fathers for children and legal recognition of that unit, as opposed to any other kind of still valuable but different kind of relationship?
No, in today's world, can't good child rearing happen with a gay couple raising children, single mothers raising children? It seems like there's all different kinds of families.
Sure, it's absolutely possible, and we certainly honor anyone who's a good parent. I think the key element here is when the state has to determine what the meaning of marriage is, they're not working from a blank slate. In other words, they're not just thinking this up from the beginning. They're accepting a long tradition. I mean, an almost universal recognition of marriage across time and cultures. And they have to. It's important for us to understand why would that possibly be? It can't be because the government's trying to sort of hold a parenting contest and say, "Hey, anybody who does a good job gets in here." There has to be a better explanation than that. And I think that recognizing the unique relationship of men and women who alone can produce children and provide for children, the day-to-day contact with both a mother and father. I think that's a much better explanation for why the government would be involved in the first place.
Let's bring in Senator Jim DeBacchus, who's also chairman of the Utah Democratic Party. We had some phone issues. Apologize for that, Senator. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Always a pleasure to be here.
So I think you were able to catch at least the tail end of what Bill Duncan was saying. We also are joined by Bill Duncan, who's director of the Center for Family and Society and executive director of the Marriage Law Foundation at Sutherland Institute. And I asked Bill Duncan, I'll ask you the same question. What is the state's, talking government in general, what is the government's interest in sanctioning marriage?
That's a good question. You know, I was in my office and somebody came running in and said Amendment 3 has been declared unconstitutional and the state was not smart enough to ask for a stay in their original pleadings, and that therefore marriages were being allowed and marriage licenses were being given out by the county clerk. So I called Mayor Becker and said, "Ralph, can you marry us?" And he said, "Sure, when?" And I said, "20 minutes. And then I said to my partner of 27 years, "Quick, get a suit and tie on and meet me in the county clerk's. I got a surprise for you." So we got down there and there were a few dozen people. And as word spread, it became dozens and then hundreds and eventually 1,400 people. You know, we really are a family state. And while some have this narrow idea of Ozzie and Harriet, and maybe that is ideal, but the rest of us live in the real world. And there's divorce, and there's spousal death, and there's problems. And so to take all of these gay families, and it was such an incredible event. I mean, there were men and women who had been in loving relationships for 20 or 30 years, and then there were young families with babes in arms, and it was a tidal wave of children running around. They were all excited, because right now, due to the Sutherland Institute and people that have their kind of philosophy, it is illegal for a gay couple to have joint custody of children. So you end up with this terrible situation where one parent or the other has to pick. They're both not legally intertwined with their own children. We had a terrible situation where a couple had an 8-year-old. The child, one of the custodial parent died, and the child, of course, had to face the shock of losing the only parent that they'd ever had. And then the state came in and said, as a result of the Sutherland Institute and their family values thinking, you know what, that is a legal stranger, that other partner who had been there every day of the life of that child. And the state took the child, at least temporarily, and put it into state custody. Mm. And the other partner could not even ask for custody because the state specifically says, due to the thinking of the Sutherland Institute, that that is a legal stranger. Hmm. What they're doing is trying to destroy families.
Let's get a
read. What they're trying to do is harm families. It's not a good thing for our culture.
Let's get a response from Bill Duncan. And you're hearing these stories. This is some real harm, at least from the point of view of these couples, that's happening because of a definition of marriage. What's your response?
Well, I appreciate the chance to respond. It's kind of an outlandish charge that the Sutherland Institute has separated people from their parents without, of course, any real proof. Let me respond this way: every child that's born in the world has a mother and father, and same-sex marriage sends a powerful message, one that most, I think, Utahns are still not comfortable with, that mothers and fathers are essentially interchangeable parts in a family, and that neither is important to children. And I think that that's a message we're not comfortable with. We can certainly affirm the right of anybody to live and make choices the way they would like, but to take the force of law and to say that the force of law has to be put behind this really radical notion that mothers and fathers or neither one is essential for children, that's really going much further than any notion of civility or appropriateness requires. And we have to be responsible as a society for dealing with the reality of procreation, the reality that every child has a mother and father. And how do we figure out a way, while still preserving some semblance of freedom and order, to encourage those who create children to be responsible for them? Not children as commodities that we purchase, but children as beings who have their own rights just by virtue of being born.
Let me get Senator Backus. Yes.
A great lack of understanding to say that gay people and gay families and gay children are some kind of a commodity relationship. I mean, I challenge that. I know gay families. I dare you to get between a couple and their child. I mean, they're some of the most loving, caring, decent, responsible people I know. And for you to just kind of whisk your hand and indict people because it doesn't fit your philosophical definition of what a family should be, well, there's plenty of families out there that don't meet mine. But we're talking here about civil law. We're not talking about religious ordinances. We're talking about the ability of the state to regulate its citizens. And I believe that Judge Shelby hit it right. I believe the Supreme Court is going to agree. And this kind of inane fundraising kind of effort that the Sutherland Institute is involved in to divide our community, to create hatred, is not doing the world or the state of Utah any good.
Let me, before I go back to Bill Duncan, let me reintroduce our guests and invite you to join this conversation. If you have a question or comment, would love to hear from you. It's been a very eventful few weeks in Utah, and this, of course, will continue as this moves to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals and then possibly to the U.S. Supreme Court. We're talking right now with Senator Jim DeBacchus, who's also chairman of the Utah Democratic Party. And we're talking with Bill Duncan, who is with the Sutherland Institute, and we'd love to get your perspective. Three ways you can join us. You can call us at 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. You can join us by email to upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com, or you can join us on our Utah Public Radio Facebook page. And we have about 20 minutes left, a little under, for you to get your comment in. In fact, let's take a break right now. When we come back, I have a Facebook comment which has some very thoughtful, interesting points, which would be jumping off point, I think, for further discussion. This is from April on our Facebook page. You can join us there as well. Back after a brief break.
Did you know that there is a shortage of special education teachers in Utah? Based on the Bell School District Superintendent Survey, there is a greater need for teachers of young children with severe disabilities and mild-moderate disabilities from preschool through high school than teachers in any other field.
Did You Know That? Is made possible by the USU Emma Eccles Jones College of Education and Human Services. More at cehs.usu.edu.
Programming on Utah Public Radio is made possible in part by our members and Krupp Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Open Monday through Saturday until 3, offering a Jewish rye, polenta cheese bread, and a ciabatta sandwich buns.